Now back to our Football Friday, powered by Bud Light Seltzer, official partner of the Seattle Seahawks, on your home for college football Saturdays and the NFL. Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR. One more
time. Chuck and Buck here on a Bud Light Seltzer Football Friday. Good morning to you, Chuck and Buck and Slick Hawk. And the show would not be complete without our man Michael Sando, who now joins us. Of course, NFL writer for The Athletic. But we are allowed to take a few liberties and talk a little more local football with Mike. So we'll do that as well today as we break down the Seahawks-Cowboys game. But let me start, Mike, by talking about the big topic to start the entire football weekend, beard or mustache. Where are you in all of this? Beard guy, mustache guy?
I think a beard looks better, but I also think that Fitzpatrick is correct. Fitzpatrick is correct about the mustache guys having the patchy sides, you know, because I have weak patchy sides too. So I tried the beard. It wasn't something that stayed that long. It was just more, I could pull it off because I don't have that many friends, not that many interactions, you know. I'm sitting in my cave here working. So, but yeah, it wasn't that kind of fun. I mean, Fitzpatrick, ridiculous beard. I mean, geez.
Yeah.
You used to be in a biker gang to have that beard. You used to have to, you know.
I threw this out from earlier in the show, and it's really not that important, and I shouldn't mention it again, but I will anyway. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick has had a good long career that's lasted till age 37 and could last beyond, because never at any moment when he was on a football field did the coach or anyone else care if he got injured. He's the only guy in modern-day football who will put his body on the line every play to move the chains and get first downs. And what an asset that can be.
Yeah, because he knows that they don't care, right? I mean, most guys, it'd be a stern talking to, look, you are the franchise, you know, we cannot afford to lose you. That's what they're talking about Josh Allen when he runs, or any of these guys, you know. You've got to be careful. He is funny, though. In his first game, okay, his first time getting in with the Rams, he was drafted by Mike Martz, and he comes off the bench in a game and leads the Rams back from a 21-point deficit, both like 300 yards. I mean, and then 2 weeks later, he throws like five picks in one of his first starts. You know, that's Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? He could do anything, and it's exciting to figure out what it's going to be.
Mike Sando, our NFL insider, is with us here on Chuck and Buck in the Mornings, and his segment brought to you by Cascade Ice. Cascade Ice Sparkling Water is a locally owned company in Everett, Washington. All right, well, let's get your thoughts on this Seahawks-Cowboys game matchup on Sunday. Great national tilt, not just of local interest here. And all week long, we've been talking about how many points are going to be scored. I put the over-under at 97.5, jokingly. And so I'll ask you, is there any chance that this doesn't end up in being just some wide-open shootout between these two teams?
Yeah, I would think the points are going to flow back and forth. You know, I think with Dallas, I felt like they were an overrated team coming into the year. You know, they're number one, they're an easy division, but they're the Cowboys. I mean, people just can't stop talking about them. And they weren't that good last year. Now, offensively, they were. And offensively, obviously, they had a great production in their comeback. But they were way behind 20-0 to the Falcons, too. And that's part of who they are to me. So I'm really interested to see, does Seattle, you know, go out there, and unless there's a fluke pick six early in the game like last week, and just head, you know, and scores, yes, gives up points, but scores frequently enough that it's a double-digit game. I think that's almost how it should be. But I think if you're a Seahawk fan watching, you know, their defense, you're afraid that it may not be, that it may be, maybe Russell Wilson has to just be, you know, putting up 40 to win 40-39. I like Seattle to win the game. I think the comeback against Atlanta has a lot to do with Atlanta, too.
Mike, we've talked a lot this week about the fact that the Seahawks have given up quite a bit in the passing game in the first couple of games, some in garbage time against the Falcons, but just plain and simple, they haven't really gotten after the quarterback, and they've given up a lot of yards. Is this a game where you would see worry even with this offense coming in? They have Dak Prescott who can throw, but they also have Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Cowboy offensive line is not at all what it used to be, right? Remember a few years ago they came in, I think they won the game, and were able to sort of control the game with their offensive line. Their line is hurting, so I don't see that necessarily being a Cowboy domination come in and just physically win the game. Seattle's pass rush is interesting. You know, I was looking at this yesterday. Like, I think our perception is that it's terrible. If you look at, like, ESPN's, you know, pass rush win rate, it's middle of the pack. If you look at, like, I was looking at another source for, like, the rate of pressuring the opposing quarterback, it was kind of middle of the pack. It wasn't as horrific as you would think. At the same time, they have allowed 23 pass plays of more than 15 yards. That's most in the league. Cool. And that's, you know, put it to you this way, the 2013 team allowed 3 in the first 2 games. So, you know, there's stuff going on here, right? I mean, how much of that's in garbage time and all that? I mean, that's a factor. So, yeah, I think you go into it with a little bit of trepidation, but maybe they're not as bad defensively as the numbers suggest because of the garbage time component, because some of those stats I pointed to where it shows they're not quite as bad in pressure. Now, they're counting on Jamal Adams to provide a lot of that, so that's different, right?
Yeah, that's definitely different.
Usually you want to have a couple of big guys up front that are getting 12 sacks, and they're not going to have that. So, you know, that's going to cost them in some way.
Yeah, I'm not sure many Super Bowl champions, their best pass rusher was a safety. But we're going to try to pull it off. Mike Sando is with us, our NFL insider from The Athletic. Of course, you can follow Mike at Sando NFL, and his segment would not be possible without our friends at Cascade Ice. I mean, we are going to acknowledge, and at least on this show and hopefully throughout our radio station, that week number 2 is far too early to be talking about MVPs. And the National Football League. And
we can talk about it.
and yet, we kind of feel like we've launched a Russell Wilson for NFL campaign even before the game started being played. And I see him playing like an MVP quarterback through 2 weeks of the season. Everybody does. But he's not the only one out there, Mike. I mean, across the National Football League, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen. I mean, we're seeing some great quarterback play early on.
Yeah, great numbers. I mean, I don't think we're going to see Josh Allen, he's on pace for 48 touchdown passes with no interceptions, right? That's not going to happen for Josh Allen, right? What we are going to see is Lamar Jackson is going to have a good year. Aaron Rodgers is going to have a good year. I would think Pat Mahomes, even though he's sort of slow, he will have a good year. But Russell Wilson is really having a great year. I think you're right with the awareness on him that, hey, he's never even gotten a vote, right, for the MVP. Now, no one even talks. Drew Brees has never won the thing. Can you believe that? I mean, he's never even won the award once. You'd think that he would have. But usually with these awards, there's a reason why you don't win or you don't get votes, because it's hard. You know, in your best year, maybe in a year when someone else was even better, right? I mean, Pat Mahomes had 55 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Should there be 12 votes for Russell Wilson that year? Probably not, right? I mean, it was Mahomes. He was the clear choice. So I think what we're seeing from Seattle is, look, this is a – sort of a continuation of more being on his plate to win the game, because the defense isn't what it used to be. They're not, don't have the amazing Marshawn Lynch. But then also the coaching staff now letting them, what's that word they use? They're letting them cook a little bit, right? I mean, he's throwing the ball more and he's throwing a ton of touchdowns. So you have kind of this convergence of factors that can help him win the award, right? I mean, Mahomes isn't off to a red hot start. So that's your primary competition. You've got the amazing numbers. They're letting you throw. Your defense isn't great, so you got to throw even more. I mean, and you're great. He's great. He's better than he was 3 years ago, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, Chuck said it quite a bit, that he thinks that this is a year where Russell probably just busts out and has maybe his biggest year yet, and it looks like he's off to that kind of start so far. One thing I'm wondering your take on is just this NFC West. I mean, a lot of people have said it's the best division in football. It's kind of hard to argue with it when they're 7-1 as a division right now. How surprised are you? Is there anything that's surprising you about this division, and how tough is this division?
Okay, yeah, the Rams are probably a little bit better than I thought they would be. I think there was some uncertainty with them because they had a brand new defensive coordinator who'd never even called a play, and so I wondered, okay, you're losing Wade Phillips, what's that going to look like? I think they have a lot of, younger players that they filled their roster in with. They're near the top of the league in second and third round picks taken over the last few years. And some of those guys, we're not sure. Well, one of them, you know, is a linebacker who was no one's heard of, who was the defensive player of the week or whatever for week one, right? So some of those guys may be better than we thought, and that could make them good. At the same time, they weren't a 4-12 team last year, right? So Arizona, probably a little bit better than you were thinking. You had questions. You thought maybe they were going to be good, but it looks like those thoughts are confirmed. So I think it basically the teams that you were not sure about that you thought could be good in Arizona and the Rams, but you also see real reasons why they may not be. It looks like maybe it's leaning more towards the side of, you know, glass half full with those teams, which makes the division tougher. And look at 49ers. I mean, they're the only loss in the division, and they've got tons of injuries, but they're still probably going to go win a game this week with Nick Mullins if you had to bet on it.
Yeah, exactly. And so NFC West is, I mean, some people have picked all four teams to make the playoffs, national pundits. So it's certainly going to be interesting to follow.
Yeah, no, I mean, look at the rest of the division, right? The rest of the NFC, right? I mean, in the NFC North, you're really seeing it looks like the Packers are the best team and everyone else, even though Chicago's won. I mean, I don't think they're winning on style points, right? I mean, you look at the NFC South and you're like, okay, how good is New Orleans now, right? I mean, they're not just coming out flying. So it is early, but you could see that.
Mike Sando is with us, our NFL insider from The Athletic, joins us every Friday at this time on a Football Friday, and we talk National Football League with him. All right, so how big Monday night's game? I mean, we won't get to chat with you before Monday night. Ravens versus Chiefs. I mean, can you get a better matchup in a regular season game week three than this one?
I know. And think we go from Sunday night, Green Bay at New Orleans, which, I mean, we're all curious, right? We want to see Rodgers. We want to see Breeze. And then we just get, you know, we get the MVP and Lamar Jackson against, you know, the MVP before that in Patrick Mahomes. And I have curiosity on Kansas City because they are 2-0, but it's been a little bit of a grind. You know, if you look at deep passes down the field, Mahomes has completed 1 of 5 this year. You know, last year he was 9 of 16 through two games. The year before, 7 of 12. They haven't had the explosive big play element to their game. Is it going to be a grind it out? Or are we going to see Baltimore win? It is in Baltimore. There's not going to be a ton of fans there. I think there's a lot of curiosity and then just excitement over the quality of the team.
Seahawks or Cowboys? Who's going to win, Mike?
Well, I'm going with the Seahawks. Normally, it would be easier because the home crowd, you know, all that would matter. Yeah. But I just think that, you know, Wilson is looking like a guy who isn't going to be denied right now. 9 touchdown passes through two games. That's 4 more than he's ever had through two games in his career. I think you got to go with that.
All right, I'm going to close with this, and I don't mean to catch you off guard, but I think you'll have fun with this question. I made the statement that Gale Sayers has the second best NFL highlight film in NFL history behind only Barry Sanders. So Barry Sanders won, and now the late Gale Sayers, who passed away this week, is number 2. Can you give me somebody that if you put together a highlight reel of their best plays in NFL history, that it would top Gale Sayers or Barry Sanders?
I don't know about top. I think that I would, you know, Earl Campbell's are a different kind. You know, I think when you just talk about the two guys you're mentioning are amazingly elusive, and Barry Sanders with the, you know, the jump cut and the ability, I don't know how he didn't leave his ACLs on the field every game, right? I mean, there's nobody like him, but I think, you know, you have to allow for the appeal of just sheer power, and Earl Campbell sticking his head down and putting it in the sternum of the guy for the Rams and throwing them back 5 yards. I mean, I would just say, okay, that could be your 2, but make sure you got like a second screen going here and you check out a little Earl Campbell, okay?
I was even thinking like Dick Butkus, like somebody on the defensive side, just a highlight reel of just somebody just Lawrence busting Taylor. Heads.
Lawrence Taylor, for sure. Yeah, you can go way back. I mean, Night Train Lane. I mean, there's guys, the stuff that used to be allowed, that's part of this too. Like, you used to be, like, face mask used to not be a penalty. If you go back far enough. I mean, guys used to just get decapitated. So if you like that type of stuff, you have to probably watch still black and white movies, you know?
Yeah, I don't think I want to go see a collage of, you know, horse collar tackles and clotheslines.
Yeah,
like
no,
Night Train Lane.
Yeah, they would just flat out forearm somebody in the face and then be like, okay, you know, the referee would just signal with his hands over his head, like the ball is dead here. There wouldn't be a bunch of guys running to fight, you know. It would just be, that's just the game. I'm glad they changed some of that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. All right, man. Hey, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Enjoy the football this weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. You too.
All right. There he is. Mike Sando, our NFL insider from The Athletic, and follow him at Mike Sando NFL on Twitter. And thanks to Cascade Ice Sparkling Water. Need a caffeine kick without sugar, calories, or carbs? Grab a 16-ounce can of Cascade Ice with 160 milligrams of organic caffeine. If you don't want the caffeine kick, well, Cascade Ice is also available in a 17.2-ounce bottle that is caffeine, carb, sodium, and gluten-free. And you can find these great-tasting products at grocery locations in the Puget Sound area. All right, coming up next, more on Seahawks Cowboys before we introduce our 9 o'clock hour of Coach Holmgren, Hugh Millen, and Score Prediction Challenge. Keep it here, Chuck and Buck, Sports Radio 950.